to the Quality Time Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Woodworth, and man, what a banger we got this week. Jeremy, triumphant return, is here for all you ladies and gentlemen, and boy, has he been busy writing some good old tunes for your ear pussies. Once again, I always ask this, you know, we're a small-time operation. If you love the show, tell a friend, do anything that you can. We don't have some giant corporation behind us backing it, and there are tens of dollars out of my own pocket that fund this thing, as well as Ashley and Jeremy. So do your best, do your part, help us out, give us good reviews, fucking tell the shit to people. Anyway, without further ado, get strapped in, turn that volume up to 11, and get ready for Brain Dead.
Hello, kiddies. It's your old pal, the Crypt Keeper. This is a big shout out to my friends at Quality Time Podcast.
Yeah, we hear you, brother. You look like you were writing your manifesto. Like we interrupted manifesto writing time.
Well, I was getting all the final ingredients of the bomb, so.
There we go. There we go. Well, that's good,
won't
man.
Won't Pepsi be surprised? I know who wins the cola war.
Well, that's good, man. That's fucking tight.
Nice background.
Oh, thanks. And it's just a predator background, you know.
That's weird, because when I use a predator background, it's normally Jeremy. I love you, Jeremy.
In the clown makeup with the boy.
Got his ass. Yeah, well, welcome back to the Quality Time Podcast. Booyah! My name is Eric Woodworth, and listen, it is an absolute joy and an honor to welcome back my blood, my brother, the hard-working blue-collar fella, Jeremy P. Woodworth is back on the program. Jeremy!
Please don't call me hard worker. The name is Slave.
Slave.
Just
Slave.
Real slave.
Okay.
Or robot.
Robot, you know? Jeremy Woodworth.
Yeah.
So. I like it. So the job's been really kicking you in the balls, huh?
Well, you know, some people have jobs where they actually get a day off, but not me. Did you think you had a day off? Well, this morning you find out you don't, you dumbass.
You dumb motherfucker.
What make you think you were not going to be able to work? I hate them.
Well, that's good, man. Well, congratulations. I'm glad you're working. And I also like to welcome back, Jeremy, you weren't here for the big announcement. Our new third mic on the show, returning for her second week in a row, Miss Ashley Pontius. Ashley, how are you, darling?
Oh, my God. I'm so good. Thanks for having me.
It's nice to see you on is that a mounted phone or a laptop?
It's on my phone. I am oddly short, so I'm actually sitting in front of a windowsill in my bedroom.
And that's nice. How it's mounted.
Well, I'm always mounted, but yeah.
Got him.
Yeah.
Sometimes in the face.
Yeah. I wish you would have been there, though, for our Mandy episode, because after we did it, all I could do was think of you and Eric, so I changed you guys in my phone to Fuck Pig and Scabs.
Yeah, so now we're Fuck Pig and Scabs, which sounds like, honestly, it sounds like it exists in the Rizzoli and Isles universe. Like, we would be, like, we're the opposite of Rizzoli and Isles is Fuck Pig and Scabs.
Wait a second, Fuck Pig and Scabs, wasn't that an Olsen Twins film?
Yeah, yes, yes. They're always getting into such antics.
Yeah. They look like, good. Where can we get some more heroin?
Now, if you're tuning in, yesterday was Father's Day, and Jeremy, you wrote some special tunage for, I guess, our dad, right? And did you want to preface this song at all before I played it?
Which one? Which one?
The one that's about dad.
Well, there's two of them.
Did I miss one? The one I have is the F and S one.
No, the first one I sent you was like weeks ago. That's the first dad song, and this is the second dad song.
Oh, maybe I need to download the second one. Maybe I missed that one. I might have missed out on this one, but this is the one you just sent me.
Well, the preface is, I don't know how many times he did this with you.
It was plenty. I understood the song right away when you started playing it. Our listeners won't, which is why we have to tell them the story.
That dad would get so shit-faced angry that even though when growing up he would be like a real poet with cuss words, like mm-hmm. use at least all of George Carlin's seven words, but like 10 or 12 more.
Yeah.
That he like used with special like delicacy.
One of our dad's go-to curses was he could make words that weren't a curse word into one, if that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
So like one time if he had misplaced something, it was immediately never his fault that it is missing. It was our fault, and he would refer to the children, us sweet children, as quote unquote monkeys with hands, like that. Which doesn't make, like, all monkeys have hands, right? Like, but we were the monkeys with hands, and that was
it sounds like it should be a slur.
Yeah, it doesn't sound, you listen to it, you're like, is it racial? Is it hateful? I'm not sure, but I don't feel good listening to it, right?
So it's perfectly all right because we were white.
Yes. So,
yeah.
But now But you wrote this other... Now, one of the things I guess our father used to do is sometimes he would get into such a rage where all he would do is just sometimes repeat two words as if he had Tourette's and just be like... And two of them are featured in this song, but he would just sit there and mumble them to himself like... like this, and just pure rage through his face. So
the fact that he was so angry, that was the only two words that could come out of his mouth. Mm-hmm. Like he was a robot slash monster. So
here's a little song that Jeremy wrote
for Father's Day.
Here we go. Fucking suck, man. Hell yeah, brother.
Beautiful.
That really brought back some old words. Hey, now, Jeremy, the other song you were talking about, we did play last week, The Pornalanche. That was at the end.
Okay, so
the
that was last week's dead song.
That made last week's episode. But just a callback, because you have been busy, even though you haven't been on this shit, even though you've been missing the last 2 weeks, Jeremy, you did write a song for last week's episode, Mandy, for last week's episode, Feast, because it featured Clu Gallagher, right? Plays the bartender. He's also in The Devil's Rejects. And you wrote a special song about Clu Gallagher. Ashley, strap in for this little ditty here.
Okay.
Here we go.
Oh, it didn't make last week?
No, it didn't make last week's episode.
I love
Very
it.
Very good, Jeremy. So thanks. Good.
But I have to tell you, Pornalanche, what an awakening. I'm thinking of making it my ringtone from now on. Just, it really got me. I played it a bunch of times. Yeah.
Thanks.
Pornalanche!
One of our most popular episodes was the guy who died because of porn. And he was buried in porn, and they found his dead body in it.
It is one of our top 10 most downloaded episodes. It's called Buried by Porn, and it is about a guy who had so much pornography that it collapsed on him, and he was crushed under the weight of pornography.
Very early episode.
I think it's like around like episode 30 or something like that, and we are at episode 191 right now.
I'm shocked I can't remember it, because I've gone through your catalog pretty extensively. Like I said, 13 Ghosts really rocked me. I mean, 13 Ghosts. Yeah, I mean, it really sticks with you.
Not one ghost.
But now I kind of want to option the rights, though, to that porn avalanche story. I want to call it Bury My Boner at Triple X Tits.
Now, I do... I guess before we get into tonight's topic, our new movie, which is a Jeremy pick, by the way, and a movie I hadn't seen. Jeremy, I wrote a song for this week because I've just been a busy little bee. I think I sent it to you, but I don't know if you listened to it yet. It's cool if you haven't.
I listened to at least half.
Okay. All right. Well, I wrote a song. I'll tell you, the tempo is at 125 beats per minute, and that is the name of the song, 125. Beats per minute. Here we go. Another Saturday again, work sucks, stress to the end. Can't relax, there's no peace. House payments, they won't cease. Spouse in the car, drop the kids off. Tell them I beg or play golf. See them in the driveway. Door shuts, it's time to play. Now it's time for some me time. Drop the shades dark, I'll be fine. X videos on rewind. VR set and some fire wine. I gotta be quick to home soon. Gotta be fast or I'll be doomed. Gotta be quick, gotta finish. 125 beats per minute. Shit, I made a mess. How did it get on my chest? My situation's dire. Why the fuck is there a fire? Take the clamps off my hips. Ball gag up on my lips. Leather belt around my neck. Family knows I'm a wreck. I can hear them pulling up now. Old lady's gonna have a cow. Last March say ow, ow, ow. Gotta buy some damn time now. I know that they'll be home soon. Gotta be fast or I'm doomed. Gotta be quick, gotta finish. 125 beats per minute. There's still a whole nother minute of that, so if you want to tune into the end of the episode, I'll play it in its entirety so you can hear the big finish there. That's 125 beats per minute, which is my pleasure speed. So, hey.
Pleasure speed.
125 beats per minute.
So. I think this is a great opportunity. We need to do a quality time boner jams special CD of just all the steamiest quality time jams.
Boner jams.
Kind of just inspired me to write a song about watching daddy masturbate.
Oh, shit.
And he finally, when he finally realized I was there, he got really angry and yelled at me. So,
yeah, there's not. Hey, if you really want to be a good friend, don't announce if you caught your friend masturbating. Wait till they finish and then clap. That's the best way to be respectful of their privacy. That's the one thing I've known over the years. I've clapped for Jeremy 6 times.
That's weird. I normally just laugh.
Oh, man. All right. So are we ready to get into tonight's topic? Now all the music's out of the way. Tonight, we're going over a Jeremy Woodworth pick. I think it's 1990s Brain Dead, which... How did I not know this movie existed, Jeremy, before you told me? I had no idea that this was even a film, that the great Bill Paxton, RIP, and the great Bill Pullman had been together in a single film.
I'd like to say it's probably one of my top five Bill Paxton performances.
I mean, it's pretty, I can understand. As I watched the movie, Jeremy, I know the things that tickle you in this world, and I could tell, I watched this movie, and I could hear you uncontrollably laughing at, three or four parts, and so you actually texted me, you were like, I don't care what audio you get, but you gotta rip this one track, and I was a little bit offended that you didn't think I would have already had ripped it, because I 100% ripped the track that you were at, that you asked for, so you'll see that later on in the episode here.
You realize that the movie Frailty, which was directed by Bill Paxton, he actually deletes his own Bill Paxton moment where the kids are asking, hey, Dad, does this mean we don't got to go to church no more? And Bill Paxton's like, that's right.
Wait, Bill Paxton directed Frailty?
Yes.
What? I had no idea.
It's awesome. And the best funny part of him that he deletes out of his own movie, which I love. So
yeah, well, yeah, Jeremy, I didn't know this movie existed either, and I cannot thank you enough for suggesting it. Well, first of all, I told Eric, I am so glad you clarified in our group message, because I kept trying to rent Brain Dead, which is the original title from New Zealand for the Peter Jackson movie that we know as Dead Alive.
Right, right.
Right. So then I'm so glad you clarified, because I almost rented the wrong movie, which is also a banger. But yeah, when I realized that Bill Pullman and Bill Paxton were in this movie, oh my fucking God. My panties look like a xenomorph had been drooling in it. Like, I was so ready to come and be like, game over, man, game over. Like, I was, I was so excited. So thank you.
Now, when I became a, I became a friend with Bill Paxton on MySpace 20 years ago, or maybe even 22. His main page always said a little thing that he had typed up, and it was always better than Pullman. So I don't know if he had like a real beef with him, or if he was just jiving on him, like, oh, I'm a better actor than Bill Pullman, you know. So I don't know why.
I was just so over the moon about them being together. Like, I have a crush on both of them. So I always hope that, like, whenever he comes, he makes the face whenever from the very, the second Alien movie, right? Where he's like playing knife with his hand and his eyes get big. I'm like, that's what I hope his O face is like.
That's what I hope too. I actually, so this movie is available on Quibi for free if you guys want to watch it. If you're not up to date, you can watch it on Quibi for free. But there is also a bootleg copy of it up on YouTube, which is the one I watched, Jeremy. And I thought it was very funny. It says Brain Dead 1990 starring Bud Cort. That is the big
which all the Harold and Maude fans just go nuts. So. All
starring Bud Cort. So I thought that was important. So now, Bud Cort, Jeremy, could you give some people some background on Bud Cort?
Well, obviously, he's one of the biggest cult movies of all time, called Harold and Maude, which was one of my other suggestions. And you guys probably haven't seen it, and you think it's like stupid, but it really has its moments that make it worth watching. So,
but he's also a regular character on Tim and Eric Awesome Show from time to time as well, right?
Actually, I have no idea. I've never seen him on Tim and Eric.
I'm pretty sure he shows up on Tim and Eric from time to time, though. But in this, he plays Jack Halsey, who we'll learn more about. He's a Bud Cort is a very good over the top actor, to say the least.
I got to go change my glasses. I'll be back. So
okay, cool.
Keep the show rolling.
We'll just keep it rolling and start it off here. The movie opens up with Dr. Martin, who is played by Dr. Rex Martin, played by Bill Pullman of ID4 fame. He's checking on Dr. Berkenvitz, who's mapping out a brain that's like, it's an exposed brain that he's like tapping on parts of the brain, and there is a face that is like splayed out in like a big circular ring, and he's seeing what parts of the face it moves when he touches it. It's a pretty fun scene overall. Nice low budget effects that really set the tone for this film. Dr. Martin talks to he tells the Dr. Berkenvitz to stop playing with it. And Dr. Berkenvitz goes to go take another brain off the shelf, but he accidentally drops it. It shatters into a million pieces, and Dr. Martin is very upset about this. But and you learn that he actually treats these brains as if they're real people, and totally, they're like almost like his pets and friends. So
I was almost wondering if Jeremy was having any like warehouse flashbacks when that guy drops the brain off the shelf. I'm just like, oh my God, all the times you talked about working in the warehouse and somebody dropping, wasn't it blueberries?
Yeah.
blueberries. No. There is a true life horror film, and it's called The Johns Hopkins Basement. Which was a couple streets away from the actual hospital. And yeah, if you walk down the aisles of those where they keep the stuff, which is actually body parts and little clear baggies that you want to walk with blinders. You're like, okay, I just saw a fetus. Oh, that's great. That's great. I'm totally horrified. And then the guys that are jerks are like, hey, look at that. And you're like, you fucker. You motherfucker. You made me look at that. And we had to move them. We had to move them to another warehouse. So, you know.
The best part was is you got to pick one bag for lunch every day, which was really good because, listen.
Which was still fresh because they were vacuum sealed. So,
next we get to meet Dr. Martin gets to meet Jim Reston, who's played by Bill Paxton. And we kind of lay out the premise of the whole film moving forward. So kind of long clip here, but very much worth it.
There, but by the grace of God, go I. I was just thinking that about you, Showboat. The universe is just a wet dream. By the perception of illusion, we experience reality. The inscrutable Professor Aang. Ah. See, the liberal arts course pays off after all. Have you been drinking? You always get cryptic after you've been drinking. It's the only way I can keep my lunch down.
I just spent the last hour and a half being grilled by the chairman over a plate of calamari fungi. He says I'm not people-oriented. Now, what the hell is that supposed to mean?
I don't know.
Exactly. How would you know? You're your own boss. You do your own work. You married the smartest, prettiest girl in our class.
It was me or you, and you lost.
That's about the only thing you ever lost.
No. I lost Halsey. I lost the numbers. Shit, I'm probably gonna lose my job.
What are you talking about? Do you know Lakeside?
Yeah, it's a mental institution.
Correct, we own it.
Oh, you own it, huh?
Corporation has very diversified interests.
From the tritium that feeds the rockets to the powdered milk that feeds the babies, we're Eunice.
All right, but what about Lakeside?
There's a patient there, a former employee, name of Halsey. The man was a genius, but he lost it, butchered his family and pled insanity. But some of the board members feel he might be dissembling.
Why would he fake it?
Halsey wasn't exactly happy with some of the applications his work might be put to. Look, maybe he's just trying to get out of it. The point is, he's nuts. He's not responsible, but I am responsible. You see, Halsey was my baby. So now I'm in Shit City with the board, and he's in a rubber room, totally paranoid.
Oh, paranoid. So... this is what it's all about, huh? Hmm.
Champ. I didn't know who else I could turn to. I mean, nobody knows more about paranoia than you. You're the brain man, for Christ's sakes.
I'm not a psychiatrist.
Then run a few tests. See what you think. Besides, aren't you getting a little tired of bottled brains? Here's one you can have fresh.
So that's pretty much the movie in a nutshell. So they've reached out to Dr. Martin, who is going to run some tests on Dr. Halsey, who's in an insane asylum, so he can do some live testing on him.
Does everybody think about Dr. Martin's boots when they say Dr. Martin?
Yes, Dr. Martin and his sweet boots. And So Bill Pullman, Rex Martin, if you will, goes to go meet Mr. Halsey in the insane asylum.
No, nor from your wife.
My wife? What's she to you? How long have you known her? Where'd you meet? Sit down.
Thank you.
I'm Halsey. I've been expecting you. Let's go somewhere where we can talk.
Yes, go on. Smiling Ed pays me in cash, right? Always has. Son, Cacklin pays cash. Checks are for bankers and grifters. But when I look, I don't see Ben Franklin, no siree. I see Cacklin's greasy face smiling up at me. It was his way of spying on me, with his little face in my pocket. And worse, much worse. What? He fucked my wife, right there in the factory. I'm a perfect sleeper.
Have you ever heard of Eunice Corporation?
Eunice? That's my wife's name.
No, this is a corporation. Maybe you did some mathematical work for them or something.
I work with numbers, sure, but I work for Conklin. Conklin Mattresses. I'm an accountant. Neat little rows and columns. No equations. Equations are too messy. You get a few numbers left over and boom. End of the world as we know it.
He knocks over this little stack of pencils that he's been putting up there.
It's safer. Safer. Are you familiar with the Hippocratic Oath?
Doctors take it.
Right. But maybe everybody should. At least do no harm. I think that's a fine rule. We can't all do good. But at least do no harm.
Whoa.
Mr. Halsey, would you mind if I ran a few tests on you? Just make a few maps.
Does this pay cash money?
No.
I'll take it.
I do like that. I'll take it.
The minute I heard that, I was like, huh, I feel like I've said that at a lot of my shows.
Yes, every open micer has said that. Hey, what does it pay? Nothing. I'll take it.
I'll take it.
Wait a minute. I don't have to pay money. I'm in.
With, also, can we talk about for a second him playing with those pencils? Is it me or does it seem like if he murdered his, like, if he's in there? Because we know why he's in there, right?
Yeah, yes. Yeah. We know that he murdered his family.
Right, okay. So, like, is it me or does it seem weird that he has these very sharp pencils when he's in a mental health facility for murder? Like, it seems a little weird, right? To trust him with the pencils?
Yeah, but they're tiny little pencils, so they can't actually go fully into the skull. They just, like, penetrate.
Yeah.
So, like, Joker couldn't really kill anybody with those pencils.
Yeah.
But he could try.
You could say, let me show you a magic trick. And you're like, ow, that really hurts. What the fuck?
It's good for a homemade lobotomy.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So he
like,
goes.
Can I mention the fact that for a second he almost goes into like a really strong 20s Brooklyn accent? Like, and then he'd understand it. He wouldn't exist. It's like, what is that? What is that?
And the guy behind him is like on the camera is like, too far, pull it back.
So they go to run some tests and it's full 90s computer imagery in full fucking effect. I love shitty 90s computer graphics. They're some of my favorite things and all. Like, because at the time in the late 80s, you were like, this is it, man. This is the fucking future. Do you see it? You see that shit? And it just looks so bad now. I really love those kind of moments in film. And
This isn't Commodore 64 anymore. This is Amiga 128, baby.
Yeah. And the results come back, and they are. He's a positive fucking lunatic. Okay, that's all.
It just says batshit crazy.
Batshit crazy. So he goes to share his findings with Bill Paxton's character, Jim. And he said he needs years of fucking testing before he can even think to operate. But Jim wants to move faster on the timeline. He needs Halsey's fucking information out of his brain ASAP. So he proposes this.
Why not just cut it out?
No. You open that door and you step off a cliff. It's awfully risky, especially for Halsey.
Halsey was working on something big. Cornerstone technology. And that's all I can tell you. It's classified shit. When Halsey lost his marbles, he destroyed his results. We need those numbers, or we need to make sure that nobody else will ever get them.
Jim. You want him brain dead.
Titular line! I didn't have the titular line music queued up, but that would have been a good time to have it. But that was the titular line right there. We did it. Now
I have to say that Bill Paxton as a baddie makes me want to call him daddy.
Yes, I love his slicked back hair. God, scumbag Bill Paxton is my favorite. Him, his character in Weird Science, this movie, and True Lies is like the perfect trinity of sleazeball, and it's just, it's so fucking good.
Would you do it for your country?
So Jim prods at Dr. Martin a bit more, appeals to his ego. He says, think about it, a living brain. And then Jim presses on him a little further, and he says, basically, you're going to do it one way or the other.
Oh, don't be ridiculous. Look at it this way, it could be worse. You could be the patient, and Halsey could be the doctor.
Which, this line Jeremy insisted I pull audio for. It was this one in specific. But as I'm watching it, like, that's Jeremy's... all right, out of all the acting that Bill Paxton's done in his career, that type of moment is Jeremy's favorite fucking thing in the whole world, where he looks, where Bill Paxton looks at the camera, he's like, you know what I'm talking about right now?
How about a nice, greasy pork sandwich served in a dirty ashtray?
I believe you're referencing the dark hat.
No, that's a scene from Aliens where they're about to serve up an alien.
Oh,
so.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I don't remember that one.
Made it up.
I do love him as the fat, out of shape theme park ride owner from Spy Kids. Number two. Yeah. He's number two.
I don't think familiar with that. I need to go back.
Oh yeah, you gotta
time.
Go back and watch it. He's a real fat, out of shape, real dumb character. You know, kids love that stuff. And I also love him in Twister. Him and Helen Hunt.
I remember
the idea of those two wrapped in coitus.
I remember when Twister was the blockbuster. It was like the first DVD that you could get, right? Like everybody had a copy of Twister. And watching it in retrospect, movie makes zero sense in 2020. I mean, if you just like, they have a can that has sensors that if they do this, they'll understand how a Twister works, but they'll know how one Twister works.
Well, no. They need to figure out how the F5, I think it's the F5, they need to figure out the monster of all Twisters, and also he's got to repair his marriage with Helen Hunt.
I get it.
Well, now that Paxton is dead, Zwirling has taken over, and all the sequels are called Cow-Nados.
Cow-Nado.
Jeremy, that's pretty great.
lots of really long chainsaws as he saws through them as they fly through the air. So,
next we get to see Dr. Martin. He gets into a bit of a skirmish with a local homeless man as he walks out holding a brain.
That's my fucking brain!
No.
Yes! That's my fucking brain!
No.
That's my brain!
Sir, there must be some mistake.
There's no mistake! That's my brain!
My brain!
That's my brain!
My brain!
No, you have
it's
your
my
own
fucking
brain!
This
brain.
Is mine.
And as they fight, the brain goes into the air and hits a car, which happens to be the same mattress store that Dr. Halsey was talking about the whole
time.
It's
Conklin's mattress.
Conklin's mattress. It hits that.
I did not pick up on that.
The brain shatters.
Now, I tried to remember if there was anybody else, but the number one, the only person I remember actually meeting is the bum in this movie named Lee Ehrenberg, who is also one of the main pirates of all the Caribbean films with the bald head.
Oh!
Even though he has a full fake hair in this.
That's so funny because I remember watching, because this bum shows up later in the film and I didn't rip any audio from that, but I remember looking at him the second time, I'm like, guy looks real familiar. Like, and I said to him myself, I was like, I know he's fat now. And that's what I told myself. I was like, because he's kind of skinny in this movie. I was just like, whatever I've seen him in now, he looks fucking horrible. And
of course, I think he's one of my top five Tales from the Crypt, where he plays a bar owner that tries to steal the money, and he ends up having Sam Kinison's head, conscience in his head, screaming at him. I don't know if I should give up the entire plot of it, but of course he ends up sticking a pencil in his ear, and that's why people keep looking at him. So,
see, it's still pertinent. It still works.
Now that holds up. That holds up.
Now, when I met him at Chiller, I was like, man, if I could really afford it, I would have brought a brain in a jar to have you take a picture with. So.
That would have been cool.
And be like, that's my brain. My brain. So, Martin then returns to his lab to see that his grant's been pulled, and now a new scientist is moving in on his space. The new guy and Rex are not getting along very well.
Get out of here. Both of you. No need to be nasty, Rex. I'm just trying to do you a favor. They're individuals. They're special. They're unique.
Talking
You're not
going to
grind them up into your brain shake smears. Yeah. All right. No problem, Rex. Just make sure that you and all of your friends are out by the end of the week. Let's go, Bixby.
So he calls his assistant Bigsby, who is up on the brain shelf, but he accidentally messes up. Oh, no! And he wrecks the entire shelf of fucking brains. So
in the very 90s way, like you said, of being like, whoa, I'm going to fall.
That's exactly the way that happens in a Whitesnake video.
Yes, so. Yes. Yeah, so the next thing that happens is ZZ Top appears as magical drifters out of nowhere and help you get laid. If I know anything about the late 80s and early 90s.
Take your brain jar and get in the car to have sex with strange women.
Give me all your loving, all your seven brain heads too. So,
she's got brains. She knows how to use them. She's got brains in jars.
Because every woman's crazy about a straight jacket man.
This is now
it. McConklin mattress. Conklin mattress, yeah. He rules everything.
Oh. Have sex on this mattress. Then I'm going crazy too.
I like that.
Let me shoot out all my clue, Gallagher. So luckily he wakes up from all the brains being shattered. It was a dream, and he's in his bed next to his super smoking hot wife.
Which makes no sense.
Yeah, this lady is way too beautiful to be married to a nerd. In any.
Here's the thing, I think Pullman is totally hot. Like, mm-hmm. I would eat it any day of the week. But in this movie, how is it possible that he looks older here than he does in Independence Day, which came out like 10 years later?
Makes no sense. Makes no sense. It's because, he's such a good actor that he's able to just give out small peen energy so that you think that he's older. You understand? Right? That's how good of an actor he really is. So. His wife convinces him that maybe he should go forward and do this surgery on Halsey after voicing some of his concerns. Now, the next day, Rex Martin goes to visit Halsey once again, who's now examining a pack of camels to see if he can get authorized to do the surgery.
And there, in the lion, you can see a giant bald eagle mounting a naked woman from behind.
Halsey, I need your help.
You do?
Yes.
So he does go and ask him if he can cut open his head, and Halsey, of course, goes for it because he's looking at a pack of camels and basically seeing animal pornography. So,
which I was a little upset by because I'm like, I don't like that they're talking about what I do outside of this podcast.
Yeah, it was a real... I really felt like my privacy had been invaded.
Yeah, I'm like, whatever animals are mounting me is my business.
Look, you know, ever since we've had replicants and fake animals, it doesn't matter what fake replicant has sex with what fake animal anyway. So
I dig that. I dig. We're living in a new age.
Game over, man.
So Jim and Rex now have to go talk to the Eunice board about the surgery and sell it to him. So they try to sell him the idea of this surgery.
He's right. It's very different than the 50s. You could call it the kinder, gentler lobotomy.
Let's get to the point, shall we? What about Halsey?
So it's the kinder, gentler lobotomy, right? So he shows him Halsey in the other room and explains that it could restore him or just give him a fucking full clean slate. Either way, the corporation would be covered. The board immediately okays that idea, right? So Halsey makes a lot of fun noises during surgery as they poke around in his brain, and he's like hallucinating. All right, now I'll be honest with you. Trying for me, like me watching this movie and trying to transcribe anything that happens from this point forward is like trying to describe your dream seconds after you wake up. It almost makes no sense at times, but if you follow along, hopefully you'll get a couple of little things. So as he's hallucinating, Halsey's actually seeing two old Victorian time ladies that are talking to him, but are in the voices of other people. He says that his family is dead and that it was Conklin that did it, and that he's innocent and he's just an accountant. And they asked him who killed his family, but all of a sudden, and asked him if they're in the room, and he looks older.
Conklin, is he here?
Yes.
And he says Conklin is in the room.
Do you see him? No.
How do you know then?
He follows me everywhere, black and white and red, all over.
Well, I can't see him, Mr. Halsey. Why don't you take a look around, just to put your mind at rest?
And he looks around and he sees a guy completely covered in red wearing a white suit. Ooh, creepy weepy. Which I will say, this guy is almost creepy, except they just didn't give a shit about the blood that's covered on him. They're like, I don't know, just fucking put some shit on him. Don't make it look like splatter at all. It's like the guy who's covered in blood looks like a shitty Halloween costume that you came up with at like the 11th hour. Like, oh, I got a white, I'll put blood on this. Smear some ketchup around and I'll be fine.
He does. He actually kind of reminds me, even though I brought this up on the Mandy episode, but he kind of reminds me of Bob from Twin Peaks, like only you can see him.
Yes,
then,
exactly.
Like, this crazy deranged figure of your imagination. Is he real? But immediately he was like, oh my God, I love Twin Peaks so much.
What a just show. A regular doctor that's into antique, you know, torture devices and stuff that he keeps around. So.
Get it.
But the two important things of the conference room is, of course, George Kennedy, otherwise known as second only to Leslie Nielsen in the Naked Gun series.
Yes, he is the main head of the board for Unis Corporation.
And one that I didn't notice before that I just noticed on IMDb, one of the guys at the table is actually John Paxton, Bill Paxton's dad. So.
Oh, I didn't notice that. Nice.
Yes.
I also know that there's later in the film, one of the orderlies is... Do you remember later in this movie when the orderlies come in to restrain Bill Paxton?
Very much so. Very much so.
Okay, I'll save it then for until we get there. I just wanted to see you remember. You definitely know who we're talking about. We'll get to that
of course.
In a bit. Okay. So they poke further into Halsey's brain, and they are able to actually restore him so that he thinks that he's a regular mathematician for all intents and purposes. He seems a little bit shell-shocked, but overall... back to normal. So Dr. Martin walks back into the boardroom to sell the idea of moving these type of surgeries into the mass production phase. And so as they do that, Bill Paxton steps in to sell them on the idea.
What are we really talking about here? What's the growth potential?
I've got this one. For the last decade, cosmetic plastic surgery has outgrossed every other medical procedure, bar none, by several thousand percent. If people are so anxious to change their faces and bodies, what about their personalities, their very souls? Had a bad childhood? We can fix it. Resculpt your memory. Sharpen your perception. Or
as this is all happening, you can see the bloody man.
And why not Eunice? Here, here.
Yeah, as that's all going down, Rex can see the bloody man for some reason now in his brain, which I like the idea that you can transfer madness, right? So now the madness has been transferred onto good old Bill Pullman. So he they release Halsey and he appears to be a mess, but oddly, they haven't put his skull back on yet. It's weird that they let him out of his restraints and just let his brain be exposed to the world. I thought that was odd.
It felt kind of itchy for some reason.
You know, we haven't worked out all the kinks to this thing yet, but just walk around with your fucking brain exposed. No big deal. Dr. Martin goes to leave and Buzz himself out, but he realizes he doesn't have his badge. But he has Halsey's wallet instead, so he rams his way through the gate because the bloody man is in his rearview mirror. He thinks somebody's following him down the road, but it's just his dear wife as he pulls up to dinner. Now, at dinner, he notices that Jim and the head of the Unis Corporation are also eating at the same restaurant. He starts getting real rude with the CEO from the Naked Gun movie and then just starts pounding drinks and getting hammered, as you do after you make a high-level surgery like this. Jim comes up with a tagline to streamline it. He goes, the new you from Eunice. So Rex stands up. He keeps offending the CEO, and the CEO eventually ends up storming off. Rex thinks that, then hops in his car and heads home, still seeing the strange bloody man in his rear view mirror the entire way. So that's how the bloody man laughs. He gets home and the bloody man lets him in his front door to see that his wife and Jim are fucking on a table, and it is a good old ass and side titty shot of his super smoking hot wife. The bloody man then comes over and stabs Jim in the face, but Rex snaps out of it. Now he sees the two of them on the table with their eyes gouged out, and as he's looking at it, the doorbell rings. He slowly goes over to answer, only to find that it's his neighbor who notices the bloody pick in his hands.
What's the problem, huh?
I didn't do it.
Okay.
It's cool, man.
Okay.
No, I didn't. I didn't do it. I didn't do it. I didn't.
Of course you didn't do it. It's all right. You're awake now.
And all of a sudden wakes up and he's in a hospital bed now.
Oh, thank God. Thank God I didn't do it.
Of course not.
No.
Same dream?
Same as what?
As the one last night and the night before and the night before.
Where am I?
Well, you're in Lakeside, of course. Lakeside Sanitarium. Don't you remember, Mr. Martin?
No, I don't. How did I get here anyway? What am I doing here? I would like to speak to somebody in charge, please.
Well, how are we doing this morning?
The guy who walks in is none other than the bloody man himself. Oh, gosh! So, the doctor is the bloody man who nonchalantly asks, what? Let me guess. I followed you. I killed them. Sound familiar? he produces a needle to go drug him, but he grabs a hairbrush to fend him off. Some orderlies come down to pin down the doctor, and one of the orderlies is none other than Jeremy. Take it away.
You're going to have to order from the lunch menu.
Yes. So, yeah, I don't know what that actor's name is, but he's, if you've ever seen the movie Falling Down, the guy who's playing the fast food attendant, he's like, I'm sorry, sir, that's not our policy, is one of the orderlies who pins down Bill
Pullman. And let's not forget that he was in another small film where he's the cop in the bottom of the base, like, Sergeant Tate! and of course, Lecter has put the body on the top of the elevator. So
yes,
the elevator moves. So
I've got to go rewatch them both now because I did not realize.
Who was the one of the other cops in Silence of the Lambs was somebody pretty famous too who had a cameo.
Yeah, that was the black guy from not only Dawn of the Dead but also Creepshow. But the bugs, he's the bug man who's supposed to help save him.
You're missing. One of the cops that in that elevator scene is also Chris Isaacs.
Yes.
Famous. I mean, I thought you were. I'm glad you know every police officer though in the.
Yes.
the biggest star out of the lot, Jeremy. Just you mean that other guy?
Well, Chris Isaacs wasn't in those scenes. So
all right, that's fair enough. Fair enough.
But I do love though in the sex scene where he walks in on his wife and Paxton doing it. I do love that for whatever reason, she just happens to be wearing a pearl necklace that he slowly entwines in his hand and breaks. And I'm like, oh, beautiful imagery. Thank you for the pearl necklace. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I could say I've never, I don't think, if I ever saw a pearl necklace, I wouldn't have the fucking balls to break that off a lady's neck, right? That looks expensive. You don't know, like, I get it, some pearl necklaces are fake cheap beads, but what if this really is one? And she just looks at you like, yeah, this is over. I'm not risking that. Are you out of your fucking mind? It's crazy.
Also, maybe it's just me, but like old ladies like pearls, like, bitch, I'm 28. Like, I want diamonds. Like, pearl. Give me those blood diamonds.
Fuck yeah.
I'm pretty sure pearl necklaces are either for strangling or for putting up somebody's butthole. So.
Yeah, that's it.
Which I would have enjoyed it more if Paxton was like slowly like pulling them out. Just like the new you.
Yeah, like he's a magician just pulling them out of her fucking pussy. Like, last one's stuck.
Like the first time when you tried anal beads and she said something like, this might hurt. And then like a half hour later when you're in the hospital room bleeding, you're like, I'm never doing that again.
I am disappointed. I think we missed one of my favorite parts. And I forget who he's talking to, but they're talking about like disorders in the brain. And he says madness in particular stems from its moistness. And I was like, oh, well, that explains my bipolar, boys.
After he gets stuck, he gets calmed down, and the doctor explains a little bit more.
You are the man who's following me. I know that.
That's right. In my best white suit, stained with blood.
You killed Jim and Dana.
It's possible to be distracted by too much detail. For instance, your dream could be very simple. You create yourself as that which you have always wanted to be. But some part of you or some part of your mind is not very comfortable with that. So you fragment into another part called Halsey. And in your dream, Halsey becomes your patient. As in actuality, you are my patient. But in real life, Mr. Martin, there is no Halsey. You are Halsey.
And he looks over at the table and he sees like the same little stack of pencils that Halsey had from before. Ooh.
And all of his notes on the wall.
So they wheel him into the office, the doctor's office, that looks exactly like Dr. Martin's office from the beginning of the film. He explains that this is his office and not yours. He tells the doctor a convincing story about this office, then looks out the window and clearly sees that he's in not in the big city like he imagined. Jim walks in and he looks like a total fucking nerd and is not acting very Jim-like at all.
Excuse me, Dr. Rettis.
Jim, thank God, get me out of here. Went some crazy mix-up here.
You remember Jim, our accountant?
Accountant? No, Jim's a trained administrator. He runs the whole heart and knee department.
Maybe someday, Mr. Martin. Dr. Remsen, it's Mr. Martin's account I came to see you about. You see, Mr. Conklin's way behind on his payments.
Conklin? Who's Conklin? What's he got to do with my account?
You are his prize accountant. I don't see how the mattress business survives without you.
I don't think we need to discuss this anymore.
So he makes a run for it at that point. Rex goes and makes a run for it, which I also think that I'm not going to overshadow that line where he says, I don't think the mattress company is going to make it without you. I've never met an essential mattress employee in my entire life. Like, man, this mattress business might just go under if he doesn't make his payments, you know?
Unless you're using them to roll up dead bodies, then they're very important.
So Rex makes a run for it. He goes and runs into a room with all types of bizarre writings all over the walls and scribblings, and it is filled with three nut job ladies in there. One of the nut jobs grabs him and says, he'll never get out of here unless you come into my fucking special secret fucking passage or whatever. And he comes into this dark closet where he gets locked in with one of these girls, and then the other two girls come in. He's like, get off me! Ah! just getting attacked by women, and he eventually escapes their clutches and makes his way down some steps to another door, a basement filled with caged loons everywhere. It basically looks like the downstairs of Bartertown in the Mad Max series, if you go back to our Justin Schlegel episode, which, spoiler alert, he's coming up on a future episode very soon. Now, in that basement, he just sees people fucking locked up. A lot of them look like Uncle Fester is what I wrote. But he leaves the door and then sees the doctor waiting for him on the other side.
I see you've just visited my little museum. Antique neurological devices are my hobby. Mankind's efforts to tame madness make a fascinating history.
Museum? How can you do this to people?
What people?
These people.
But I saw...
What's this? People in cages.
Stop. And he opens the door back up.
That's
and
a little shock.
Nobody's in there.
Relax. No, I think they're...
So they take him into the shock treatment room after he opens the door back to see that nobody is there at all. So he gets tased a couple of times, then wakes up in the hospital bed once again. It's night, and he's met by Halsey, who comes to visit him while he's strapped down to his bed. Halsey cuts him out, but there's a nurse coming, and he says, "Whatever they say, don't do it, and then don't ever let them try to take you to surgery." So Halsey hides in the closet. The nurse comes in and goes. Rex goes to check on him and finds Halsey with his eyes gouged out in the goddamn closet. The scene ends up playing again, and Halsey's there, except he does the whole thing again and tries to stop him from going into the closet this time. So he follows him into the closet and now sees his wife come in the room. His wife sees him lying in a hospital bed, and he's basically seeing his own body in the third person. Jim comes in to start comforting his wife, where we get this line here.
"You smarmy son of a bitch."
Which I thought is... I love when somebody calls somebody swarmy. Smarmy.
Smarmy. I love it.
It's the fucking... It's an underutilized word, to say the least.
Agreed.
So, but they can't seem to hear him. They can merely... he's merely just an apparition moving through this. So, he goes to check on Halsey and then almost falls into a giant sky void that's in the closet now. He's hanging on by his fingertips on the edge of the doorway, pleading for his life. Jim kind of comes over and says, "Did you hear something?" And then steps on his hands and ends up falling down into this endless blue sky and plummets into an ocean. And as he falls down into the ocean, he can see Halsey down there.
"Shit, that's no storm. What is undersea monsters? What are you in? Are they dangerous? Not to me, but then this is my brain. My dream. You can't get hurt in your own dream. But you, fool, you better watch out."
Halsey gets fucking snapped up and a giant cloud of red blood enters the water. So I guess Halsey dies in his own dream. What a fucking liar. So next.
Well, sorry, I had two thoughts, if you don't mind.
No, go.
Two thoughts. One, this is one of the most exhausting movies I've ever watched.
Yes, I told you, everything I'm going to explain from here on out is almost impossible to transcribe. You just have to see it
was
to
so
a certain
mentally
extent.
Exhausting. Yeah, but what a good time. So the other thing is, I feel like this is almost like the original Inception. A little bit, because it's like
I did equate
Inception,
that to it. Yeah, yeah.
You know, you go too deep and you wash up on the shore of your own subconscious because you've gone too deep. There's nothing else left, and you can't really follow the train of thought because it's so fucking maddening.
Yeah,
yeah, it's about the same.
And the rest of this episode will be like me trying to explain the movie Inception. I get that. Like, I'm not saying it's going to sound insane because the rest of this movie is fucking insane. We've merely scraped the edge of the finale here. So, Rex ends up swimming to shore, then finds himself on a street corner all of a sudden, and some Asian dude is throwing water on him. Now he's a homeless bum walking the streets of California. He makes his way back to what may be his actual office and then answers the phone.
"Dr. Halsey, glad to find you back in your office.
I'm not Halsey.
Of course not. You are in Dr. Halsey's office. You answer Dr. Halsey's private line. But you are not Dr. Halsey.
Who is this?
Wait right there and you'll find out.
So he hangs up the phone and decides, I better get the fuck out of here before whoever's going to do this is going to be here. He checks the diplomas on the wall, sees that they're Halsey's, which is kind of disheartening to, obviously, to Dr. Martin. He's able to evade the suited dudes that are coming there to obviously fucking abduct him. And then Dr. Martin slips into the elevator. And as he's leaving, he realizes that he's leaving the Eunice building and not his building at all. He sees the same bum who broke his brain earlier outside and asks him, for some change. He says, you know me. You do know me. And then they argue back and forth, and he goes, saying that he knows him. But then he sees Jim in the parking lot in a car, and Jim offers him a ride.
Jim, I've gotten so lost. Everything has gotten out of hand. I mean, get this. They think that I am Halsey. But then I thought he killed you. No, I killed you. I killed somebody. And then Dana was there, too.
Try to relax. It's just bad dreams.
No, I'm not dreaming this. It's not a dream. I ruled that out. It's more like that I'm being dreamed by Eunice. You, too. Everybody, the whole thing, this car, we're all being dreamed by Eunice. For the universe is like a wet dream.
By the perception of illusion, we experience reality.
Oh, and he looks.
Have you experienced Mr. Halsey?
That's Mr. Conklin, Eunice Security. He's been looking all over for you.
He looks in the back seat, and the security guard is actually his doctor slash the fucking bloody man slash who God knows, but now... He's been abducted once again, and they take him and usher him off back to the Eunice Corporation, where now Rex finds himself in the operating room, just like Halsey was earlier in the film. Now, the board suggests that the surgery isn't working. Why don't we just give him a clean slate? And Jim takes a shot at Rex to see if he can break through to him.
I don't know what you want.
We want the right side of the equation. You erased it. Don't you remember?
No. Well, you did. It was on a Monday, the last day you came to work. You'd had a tough weekend. Hard work killing and dismembering your family. I mean, that's real aerobic exercise, something to get the heart pounding. Ring any bells? It was three little numbers. What were they? Tell me, you dumb son of a bitch!
Where's my wife?
Just burn out the core. And let's go!
With that note, they jam the probe deep into Rex's brain. He has a flashback. He remembers getting hit by a car and having a fucking car accident. And he's also driving the car, but he also gets hit by the car. It's fucking nuts. he wakes up in the doctor's surgery room all of a sudden, and they call him Dr. Martin, which he's relieved to hear his own name once again. He babbles incoherently with the surgeon, and the surgeon mentions, I've never operated on a brain man before. Just do no harm. Next they see him going into the bathroom with his head taped up, the same mental hospital, right? He gets out of brain surgery. Halsey comes in out of the fucking stall dressed as a doctor. They don't really have any words, but he leaves, and then he starts to peel back the bandages in the mirror.
Which, real quick though, before we get to that part, mm-hmm. I have to tell you how much I appreciate the fact that Halsey shits with his stethoscope on. Very cool doctor stuff.
You know how you be shit. You have, sometimes the best thing to do is put the stethoscope on your taint so you can hear it move through you. And that's a real, that's how doctors make BMs. That's the only thing I know.
I feel so much better knowing that at any moment, even in a bathroom, a doctor could be shitting and hear that someone's in distress and be like, hold on, I'm already fully equipped.
So as he's staring in the mirror, he goes to go remove the bandages from his head. He uncovers it, and then he basically takes his fingers along the incision in his head and then peels the whole top of his head off, exposing his brain to the fucking bathroom, which for all intents and purposes would kill most people. He now watches as he's flatlining on the surgery table, watching in the same room as his wife and Jim are watching that surgery happen. The doctor assures his wife very goofily that at least you didn't feel any pain.
I know. And
the scene ends with a butterfly landing on his fucking exposed brain in this surgery room. And it ends with the voice of Rex, Bill Pullman, saying this.
Where am I? Am I dreaming? Or is this death? I'm dead. Great. I'm dead, I think.
And as they pull away, they see he's on the brain shelf.
Interesting.
And that brings us to an end of Brain Dead.
When should we begin?
What a fucking fever dream of a movie. Jeremy Woodworth had to leave for work, so he made it through most of the episode, though. We made it, though, guys. Brain Dead, 1990. Some 90s power fucking players in this one. Ashley, what did you think?
Overall, I really liked it. I mean, it was cool to see those two work together. And yeah, I had never heard of this movie until Jeremy suggested it. So kudos, Jeremy. I loved it.
Shout outs. I enjoyed this movie. It's a fun combination of just enough hokey, but not hokey enough at times.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of wish it was just a smidge more over the top. Just a smidge.
Yeah.
But
overall, I wish it was a little more horror, like gore, you know? A little grosser.
Overall, though, I will say I did enjoy it. Overall.
Agreed.
It's a fun film, and it's a nice little snapshot of the early 90s / late 80s that,
yeah.
I don't know. I thought the whole film worked out overall. So we'll see what Joe Robinson's take is on this moving forward. Anyway, guys, happy Father's Day. I know it's belated. I hope you guys enjoyed this week's episode. It was a fun doozy of a fucking shit. Remember that the second Saturday shit show is free every second Saturday of the month, hosted by Kim Callahan and Mr. Mike Quinlan. Check that shit out. As things open up, it might be live again very soon. Ashley, what do you got going on?
As of right now, I haven't heard if any of my shows are back on, but people can always follow me on my Facebook fan page and my Instagram at Ashley Pontius Laughs. Also, when this episode comes out, I've made a special drink for you guys to enjoy if you watch the film. So check out our Instagram for that post.
Yeah, definitely check out Ashley's drinks. Ashley has been working on these beverages, and I can't wait to have them in person very soon. All things Eric Comedy at ericcomedy.com. Eric with a K, comedy with a C. Oh my gosh, I'm fucking brain dead! Another Saturday again, work sucks, stress to the end. Can't relax, there's no peace. House payments, they won't cease. Spouse in the car, drop the kids off. Tell them I'll make them play golf. See them in the driveway. Door shuts, it's time to play. Now it's time for some me time. Drop the shades dark, I'll be fine. X videos on rewind. VR set and some fine wine. I gotta be quick to home soon. Gotta be fast or I'll be doomed. Gotta be quick, gotta finish. 125 beats per minute. shit, I made a mess. How did it get on my chest? My situation's dire. Why the fuck is there a fire? Take the clamps off the nips. Ball gag up on my lips. Leather belt around my neck. Family know I'm a wreck. I can hear him pulling up now. Old lady's gonna have a cow. Last March say ow, ow, ow. Gotta buy some damn time now. I know that they'll be home soon. Gotta be fast or I'm doomed. Gotta be quick, gotta finish. 125 beats per minute. Yeah, she's walking in, house wet as a pig pen. Clean up unfinished tasks, maybe remove a ski mask. Head down in shame, call Jane off so lame. Raise up my eyes to meet, realize it's my bud Pete. We start jugging all together, birds of a same feather. Help me to finish 125 beats per minute.